The following program, the Rewind Sports 60, is sponsored by Jerry Riles and, to the extent applicable, his guests. The views and opinions expressed therein do not necessarily reflect those of NewsWeb Radio Company or its management.
The Rewind Sports 60. From the city of big shoulders, the jewel of the Midwest, comes a sports show that's one of a kind. From iconic players to iconic stadiums to iconic teams, this is my kind of town.
Chicago!
Rewind Sports 60 is my kind of show. From Air Jordan to Sweetness to Papa Bear Halas, this city works hard but plays even harder. Danny Carlino and Jerry Riles bring you the Rewind Sports 60. Live Rewind Sports 60. Starts now.
Welcome everyone to another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. We're streaming live on Facebook Live, broadcasting from the world's famous WCPT 820 AM in the beautiful, beautiful city of Chicago, in the great neighborhood of Jefferson Park on the city's north side. This is another edition of the Rewind Sports 60. It is the fastest hour in sports conversation, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jerry Riles. And of course, we're joined by the lovely, the talented, the sensational, the outstanding, the dynamic, witty, intellectual, and a little bit feisty at times if you push the right button. She's none other than the one, the only, Lauren Cox in studio. What's up, Lauren? How are you?
I'm wonderful, Jerry. Happy holidays. This is a beautiful summer day. These 90-degree days are just, I'm soaking it up because I know next week it's going to be cold again in Chicago.
No, so. It's not. They're expecting a heat wave.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just
They're expecting a heat wave.
Yes. Yeah. A couple of 90-degree days. I'm not complaining.
No, don't complain whatsoever.
I am not complaining one
Please
bit.
Don't.
I'm not.
No, because, you know, let the heat continue. You just come, because I'm telling you, well, I mean, you're a lifelong Chicagoan. You
yes.
know about the Hawk. You know
coming.
About the Hawk in the wintertime.
It'll be here any second now, yeah.
Well, because the weather here in Chicago changes in the blink of an eye. There's no question about it. Our number here is 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. If you want to jump in, it is the fastest hour in sports conversation, and we got a lot untapped, a lot in store, so we definitely would love to hear from you. We're certainly going to talk sports because that's what the Rewind Sports 60 is all about. But yep. We also talk about entertainment. We also talk about news items that affect us. And we certainly are going to talk about some news. And Lauren said, happy holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
After everything that's transpired as far as happiness is concerned regarding the holiday, I think a lot of people are boycotting the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. I heard it. I mean, time and time again, we're not free. And, you know, just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a backlash against all systems that are not right.
Exactly.
And that's just where we are right now, and I have no problem with it.
Yeah, it's interesting because I know that there's, northern suburbs, they're sticking the American flag on people's lawns and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
I stuck the Black Power, the African-American flag out on my lawn just to let everybody know, hey, I'm in the house. Well, they already knew I'm in the house
because right, exactly.
I got a big mouth. So, I let people know I'm here, but I certainly let them know that
Jerry.
I'm here. But I was downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
My family and I, we had a vacation plan for New York for the 4th of July.
Okay.
Before the pandemic.
Right.
But, of course, when that happened, we had to cancel everything out.
Sure.
And so we planned on a staycation here in Chicago.
Okay.
And we stayed at the London Hotel.
Nice.
Yeah, the London Hotel right there on Wacker. But we were out and about Michigan Avenue, Wacker, Columbus Drive. And I don't know if they're going to still call it Columbus Drive. That's another street that they need to get rid of, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call it DuSable Drive or something, all right?
Absolutely.
But at any rate, I mean, we're watching people watching, so to speak. And there was really not too many people dressed in patriotic affair.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the red, white, and blue and the stars and stripes or anything. You know, normally on July 4th,
right.
Well, one thing, you got the fireworks.
Yeah.
You got the 4th of July, the Taste of Chicago and everything going on.
Sure.
But because of the pandemic, all that stuff has been wiped out.
Right.
But you barely saw a lot of...
Me too. I mean, I've been guilty of, you know, a time or two wearing something with the flag
of
on
course.
It for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
People were shutting that down. But then you had the adverse of that. They were showing in California where it was these people, they had a parade. They were going down one of the main streets in California, and they had a parade, and they had their Confederate flags, and it was just a Uh-oh. Bunch of pickup trucks going down, having
Yeehaw!
Their own, and they were Trump supporters. And,
you know,
it's just, you know, like, why you want to come out and stand out like that about it? It's you know.
They steal their country. They're trying to make the great again, Lord.
Absolutely.
Don't you know that?
Yes, it was.
I still don't understand what's so great about it.
I guess it's great.
I don't understand. But I guess if I were a white male back in the day and if I had slaves and stuff, that would mean it was great for me, too.
Right. Yeah.
But if it's supposed to be the land of the free and liberty and justice for all and equality, how
can
that?
They don't see that. They only see it for themselves.
I certainly don't understand that. But you know what? It's not necessarily for me to understand. It's for me to try to help open up the eyes of some folks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's simply, I don't get it, man. I simply don't get it. On our TR60 hotline, he's not in studio. He's on the road. He's not even at a Cub game. He's the marvelous one. He's Dan Marver. What's up, Marver? How are you? Marver!
So, Jerry, like I said, July, we're going to have NBA, allegedly, NHL, and Major League Baseball, but I'm worried about this virus. This virus isn't abating any, so the infections are showing up, so that may interfere with the ability to do sports.
Yeah, it's really going to interfere, in my opinion. It's going to interfere with moving forward as far as sports is concerned. We got, 2.5 weeks before the shortened season, mm-hmm. MLB play gets underway, and we've already have players tested around the league positive for COVID-19, including here in Chicago on the south side, two White Sox players tested positive today for the virus.
Jeez.
We don't know their names, but they have tested positive, and they got to test negative twice before they're cleared.
Okay.
So it's already impacted the Southsiders. As far as players are concerned on the north side with the Cubs, not as of yet. Their pitching coach definitely went down with it, and he spent 30 days quarantined, and
wow.
He said it was one of the worst experiences he's ever gone through. But around baseball, there were, 38 players and I guess front office people who came down with it in the past few days.
Mm-hmm.
With COVID-19. So, Marvelous, you're absolutely right. It is definitely, it takes no prisoners. Well, it takes a lot of prisoners.
Yeah.
And that's the scary thing about this. I know Buster Olney said that, ESPN said last week that he was 0% confident that this shortened season of 60 games will be completed.
Mm-hmm.
He said he was at 5% confidence
that it would start.
It would even start.
Yeah.
Marvelous. Were you surprised by the comments of Buster Olney?
Well, not really. And you also have to realize that a lot of the players are opting out of playing altogether. I mean, there's a number of players. Desmond of Colorado and there's Washington Zimmerman. A lot of them are not going to participate at all.
David Price said he's done.
Yep.
He's standing to lose, 11 million bucks. But he said, hey, you know what? I can't do it. And I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame anyone who decides that, hey, that they don't want to move forward with this. And as far as the NBA is concerned, with the bubble down there,
right.
Disney World, there are some players that said, hey.
Now, they're still getting paid. Is that correct?
Well.
That they're still getting paid, even if they opt out? I thought
yeah.
I saw that somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame any player that says, you know what, my health is more important than my career. If any player takes that option, they're all good in my book.
Right.
Because you're absolutely right, Lauren and Marvelous. It's not just you. And I wish some of the knuckleheads out there in this country that we live in could see that and hear that and realize that it's not about you. It's about the other people in your life.
They can't understand that.
It's about the other people that are in your life. If you want, like I said last week, if you want to go out and play, and I don't advise you to do it, but if you want to go out and play in traffic or play on the railroad tracks or something like that, play tag with the CTA bus or anything like that, that's up to you.
Right.
But when you start, you know, affecting other people and their lives and they're trying to protect themselves, to me, you got a problem. That's just selfishness.
It is.
It really, really is. And I hate to say it, you know, there are a lot of folks out there that say, you know, hey, they believe it's... doesn't exist. They believe that the guy that's running this country, or our fearless leader who calls it a hoax, that's exactly what it is, and that the Democrats put it out there.
Oh, my gosh. What about the people who are dying? All you need to do is talk to a doctor.
Just talk to a doctor. They don't believe him.
Well, I mean, do you have a friend, a family member that's a doctor? What about your doctor?
Lauren,
talk to your doctor.
But here's the scary thing about it. There are some doctors who are pro the guy in the White House.
Well, it doesn't matter who you're for politically.
Yeah.
They're dealing with what's going on real life, real time in these hospitals, and it's beyond our comprehension. We can't even think about what they're dealing with on a daily basis,
yeah.
what they're going through, seeing this strain, mm-hmm. incredible strain to the hospital systems. I work with hospitals. I mean, financially, it's impacting the hospitals. You know, you got to think about the workers. They're at risk, not to mention the grief of losing all of these people and just dealing with that kind of mass illness. The system was already fractured.
Right.
So, you know, this COVID-19 thing, it really, you know, you have to, if you're healthy, if you're fortunate enough to be healthy, you've got to take it to that next step and really put yourself in the shoes of people who you could possibly harm and contract the disease to, and you could be asymptomatic. And it's the same thing in terms of with this whole thing around people and being aware of Black Lives Matter and that thing. It's about the awareness. You have to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
This is America. We all are supposed to be one and united. So you need to put yourself in the shoes of a Black man or a Black woman and kind of understand it from that point of view, not your point of view, because obviously it's different. So that's what people really need to understand, that, you know, we are losing people
mm-hmm.
consistently.
Right.
This thing is no joke. This is not the regular flu.
Mm-hmm.
The medical professionals are piecing it together as we go along.
Right.
So that alone tells me I don't want to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure that I'm so solid that I don't even have to go for the experimentation. They're telling you.
Right.
We're learning as we're going along.
Right.
That's not the position that you want to be in, nor any of your friends or family.
No, I very well said, Lauren. There's no question about it. And I said last week, I said, hey, you know what? You know, there are political ramifications surrounding this thing because there are politicians involved, and that's what they do. They're professional politicians.
Mm-hmm.
But you're exactly right. When you talk about the doctors and the science regarding this,
right.
You, Dr. Fauci, you have to listen to them because that's what they do. That is their livelihood. And if you don't necessarily agree with them or believe with them, you still have to listen, or you still should listen and kind of comprehend and educate yourself regarding this thing, because we're in uncharted territories. This is a place that we've never been before.
Yeah.
And to try to question it or challenge it as a layperson, as a regular Joe citizen, I think you're being irresponsible.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You need to pay. You say, hey, listen, I don't care about myself. But you know what? I care about Lauren. I care about Marvelous. I care about Devin. I care about Family Matters. I care about everyone that's involved at the station, even though I may go, hey, you know what? It's not that big a deal. And that's not the position that I'm taking.
Right.
But I have to have some type of concern for my fellow man.
Yeah.
My family members, like you said. I haven't seen my mother in a matter of weeks
mm-hmm.
because of her health conditions and the fact that I don't want to accidentally take something there.
Yeah.
And be the blame of what, you know, could transpire.
Yeah.
And that's what I simply don't understand. And for people to support this guy, you know, out in South Dakota at the, you know, the
rallies,
yeah, mm-hmm. Mount Rushmore and all this. It's irresponsible and it's ridiculous. And I God forbid, and I pray for these folks that, and they're talking about, we're not even through the first wave. We're talking about when we get to the second wave, which will be in the fall. Hospital industry already in Texas and Florida, the numbers have gone up, and they're saying that the hospitals are already at capacity.
They're at max.
Florida has had the record numbers, single day numbers of 11,000 plus who have been tested positive for this.
Yeah.
This ain't no joke, man.
It's not.
It is not a joke. But you know what? Hey, Marvelous, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, with the spike in Florida and Texas, lead one to believe that maybe Major League Baseball is going forward too quickly, you know, because these players are going to be exposed to each other and be moving around. You know, the Western Division is going to be really traveling. Houston and the Rangers are going to have to play in Seattle and Oakland. Not so bad. I mean, for us, the furthest they'll go is Kansas City to the west and Pittsburgh to the east. But the Central. And the East isn't too bad except for maybe Boston to Miami. But it's, do you guys think that maybe they're wrong and traveling the players all over the country? Not, I mean, not all over, but within a region?
Lauren?
I don't like it. I don't like it because, you know, they. I don't know if you guys saw the TBT tournament, the basketball tournament this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The precautions that they took with that, you know, I mean, the people flew out. They had to be quarantined for, I think, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to take a battery of tests. They're all contained. They had to self-quarantine into their rooms. And they sent two teams home.
Right.
You know, so I think it needs to be contained as possible, you know, and that's why they were, you know, they were saying possibly they're going to have a second bubble in Chicago.
Right.
Why would you want to do this in Chicago with all the cases that we that's unbelievable to me. But then the first bubble is in Florida, which is another hot spot.
Yeah.
So I do not agree with them traveling all around. I think they need to have this thing contained as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Here's
the deal. We're going to be joined by he's a friend of the program, no question about it. And you probably heard his remarks earlier in this week. Former Chicago Bulls, a 3-point specialist, and of course, current activist Craig Hodges is going to be joining us after the bottom of the hour to talk about his position as far as everything that's transpired since the George Floyd tragic murder that took place. But we're going to switch gears and talk about the violence, in particular on the west and south side of the city of Chicago. Craig Hodges agrees with you and said, you know what? There's no reason for the NBA to try to play a condensed season and get all these players down in Florida. He goes, he simply cannot understand why they're even thinking about doing this or even trying to do this. And I agree with him. He's absolutely right. But again, we're talking about, unfortunately, there are two sides, and it's a political situation. And I would gather most of the owners, as far as the NBA is concerned, I got to imagine that most of them are Republicans. And they support the guy. And so at the end of the day, they're thinking wealth over health.
Yeah.
That's all they're thinking.
Wealth over wealth over wealth. That's what they're thinking.
Yeah,
sure.
They don't care about the health of these athletes.
No.
They will say that they do, and they're saying they're taking all the precautions as they possibly can. But at the end of the day, they're thinking about, hey, what type of revenue? Because we lost a lot.
Right.
We've lost a lot.
Yeah.
We got to figure out how we can recoup some of this revenue back, and we want to protect these players, but we got to try to line our pockets. and so that's why I think that, you know, it's going on. And I agree with you and I agree with Craig Hodges that they shouldn't do it because this thing is going to affect a lot of people.
And they were saying, like, what if LeBron said we're not going to play? I saw something from Draymond Green. He was like, I don't know for sure if it was Draymond. One of the players was like, if LeBron say we not playing. Now, what if LeBron came out and just was like, nah, you know, I don't want to do this.
Well,
who's going to follow suit? I mean, because you've got to think about that issue of it as well. That you know that this is all over proceeds and profits versus the health of these players and their families.
Right. Well, I mean, if you recall when the pandemic first got underway in early March, when they initially called off the games, what was it, March 10th or whatever? When they initially called off the games because of Rudy Gobert, LeBron James, they asked him, well, if they continue to play but without fans, will you play? And he said, hey, I'm not playing. If there are no fans in the stands, I'm not playing.
Yeah.
But about a week or two later, I guess, you know, some people got in his ear and said, you know, Adam Silver or somebody said, hey, man, you're the lead horse, so we got to get you. And so LeBron James, you know, kind of, you know, backtracked and said, okay, I will do it. So
Well,
you think he had to do it?
I mean, if he says that he doesn't want to do it, come on, that's
Well, why did he change his mind?
Well, he just was going off of his visceral reaction of, you know, I'm not doing it. You know, the business people got in his head and was like, come on now. So then he had to.
But why do you think?
He can't. You know, he can't even say. But that's the thing. You love LeBron because he's gonna say it from his heart. But it's
I don't necessarily love him. But
you don't love LeBron.
No, that's not my man. No.
What?
I can't ride with that brother.
Why not?
I just can't ride with that man.
Oh my!
Things that he does off the court. He's fantastic.
Okay, well, that's what we're that has everything to do with that.
But as far as his personality and his brand on the... he's not. You know, I don't know, man. And we're going to get a chance to talk to Craig Hodges about his position regarding Michael Jordan and what he believes Michael Jordan should be doing to help the black and brown communities here in the city of Chicago. And LeBron is doing a fantastic job by helping the kids back in Akron and Cleveland and
Ohio.
He's
more than helping them.
He's changing their lives.
Thank you. And their families.
He is certainly doing that.
Yes.
He is certainly, and I take nothing away from him regarding that. But I got a good friend of mine. We went to the Ohio State University together many, many years ago, and she's out in Arizona. I love her to death, Jill. But she and I go back and forth on this guy because she loves him.
Yeah.
And I go, no. Mm-mm. I don't know. He just doesn't do it for me.
How?
What about you? Because you know one reason why?
Please tell me.
And here's the deal.
The decision?
Because Michael, I hate that. Because Michael Jordan spoiled us. Michael,
that was a mistake,
I can't come
a
on.
A young person mistake.
No, get that.
Come on.
No, and then, come on, Lauren.
That's the worst
Lauren,
thing
help
he
me
did,
out here.
Which nobody even. Come on, what
right.
he did was pave the way for athletes to have a voice.
Get the hell out of here.
Narrative.
He paved the way. He paved the way for the easy route. That's what he did. And then he gets down to Miami and go, not one,
well,
not two, not three, not four.
That was a mistake.
So there were two mistakes.
You're going to be mad at him for the rest
and then,
of his
and then
career
when he got,
for that?
And then when he got knocked out of the playoffs, he goes, well, I'm just going to go back to home to my big-ass mansion. Hello? Really? Come on, man. Stop it. And then he's going to... No. Don't do it.
No.
Don't
Jerry,
do it.
That was a minor
Marvelous? What do you think? What do you think, Marvelous?
Well, you know, like as everything in life is a monetary component, even with this. I mean, restaurants are going out of business. The minor league teams are going to go out of business. I don't know how much money the teams or the players are losing, but there's always a factor involving money. And, I mean, as far as LeBron's concerned, I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be needing a handout. So, you know, in that regard, he can say whatever he wants. You know, it doesn't bother me.
Well, I'm just not a big fan.
Okay.
I'm just not a big fan. But, hey, if you guys think I'm wrong, if you think Lauren's right, if you think Marvelous is on the fence, whatever you feel. Our number
definitely
here is 773-763-9278, 773-763-WCPT. Before we take our time out, Craig Hodges, again, is going to be joining us on our TR60 hotline. I wanted to get to this real quick because I love this. I love it. Oh, my God. Lift every voice and sing the Black National Anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard it, the National Football League Week 1, they're going to open up with the Black National Anthem.
Okay.
Lift every voice.
Yes.
That's phenomenal, marvelous. When you heard the good news, what did you feel? What did you think? What was your reaction?
Well, I think that a lot of the traditionalists will oppose, but it's a positive move for those that believe it's the right thing.
Okay, Lauren? Now what? Are they only going to do it one week?
They're going to play them both. They're the first week.
Oh, no. Good. I thought they was going to do it the whole... I thought they were going to do it every game. No, that's not enough.
See, you people always asking for more than what you need.
Are you kidding me?
Why are you people always doing that?
No.
Hey, Lauren, we give you people a month and now you want the whole 12 years.
Yes, 12 months. Yes, we want the 12 years, the mule and everything else.
Exactly.
Our reparations, all of that.
Yeah.
And we damn sure should have that song play. With the league being 100% black pretty much, that's the least they can do. I thought it was every game they were going to play this song.
Well, it probably will eventually get to that point. But
Roger, every game, not the first one. I don't care about just the first one. Every single game, that's the least they can do.
Now, here's the million-dollar question. When this news broke earlier this week, this past week, I got people asking me, texting me, and, you know, emailing me and all the good stuff saying that, well, Jerry, will the players kneel for this one? Lauren, what do you think?
I think more are going to. It's tough to say.
Marvelous?
It's tough to say.
Marvelous?
I think they should, but they probably still scared.
Of course, everything's relative, but I mean, you could look at the Jews who were aggrieved by the Nazis and were slaves in Egypt, so there's a lot of aggrieved parties, and this aggrieved party should get their due, but I don't know. It's a tough call for me.
So as far as sports and as far as the National Football League, of course, with Colin Kaepernick and what he, you know, created and what he started, do you think this is something that should, what's the word I want to use, Lauren? Is it something that should pacify those? Is it something that should satisfy those who are talking about the injustices and you know, the oppression and all? Should this be good enough to say, hey, we hear you, we're listening, and we're acting?
I wonder who came up with that.
Well, it's probably Jay-Z.
Who was the brainiac that said, let's do Lift Their Voice? Okay.
It was Jay-Z.
Okay, well.
Because, you know, he partnered with the National Football League and Roger Goodell and said, hey, I want to bring more diversity to the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when he signed off on it and announced it, that he
got backlash.
Got raked over. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Raked over the coals. And people are like, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, and so I believe this is probably one
part
of the moves that he's like, you know what, this is something that we can do, you know, on a big stage to show, you know, America that we're meeting.
Right,
you know,
we got our own song, and anyway, and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, the owners have to, you know, that's probably why it's only 1 week right now. Because the owner's like, we don't want that black cat. I'm going to say something. But
oh, yes, they do. All you got to do is look on the field. They definitely want it.
Yeah, well, you know, but the question is, will these players, and a lot of them come out and said that they're going to kneel.
Who said they were going to kneel?
This past... there were several players who come out. I know
who?
That
any ones that you know, like
Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins,
okay.
With the New Orleans.
Now he already do it.
They all right. Most
okay.
of the players. There are a lot of players who have come out. Who are Adrian Peterson? I think he said he's going to be kneeling. There were
okay.
players across
he's
the
still
league.
Playing.
Well, there. Yeah. What is wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
But there are several players that said that they are going to. I think Patrick Mahomes even said that he was going to come out. You don't think so?
I want to see him.
You?
I want to see him kneel.
Do you believe players will kneel during a national anthem? And if we have a season, do you think they're going to kneel?
Some of them are the brave and the few. Just all if it was a majority of them that kneeled, it would shock me.
Why?
It would shock me because they didn't do it before.
Yeah, but
they didn't do it before.
But the stakes are higher now.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be more. But do I think Patrick Mahomes is going to do it? I want to see that with my own. So he said that he was going to kneel.
Google it.
Okay.
I mean, most of these players say we are going to do it.
What about the white ones?
Well, that's a good question. I haven't heard many white guys that say that they're going to come out and do this. It's only about two or three of them, so I don't know.
All the quarterbacks.
Hey, Marvelous, anything before we let you go?
No, I'm glad that to be able to speak to you without a mask on today.
How's your son doing down there?
Good. It's been a month, and he's now the lead reporter on the paper.
Awesome.
Because there's only one.
Hey, there it is.
Hey, man, you got to start somewhere. And as long as if he's number one, believe me, I know there's a rule of thumb as far as this industry is concerned. And you always hear, you know, the promos saying the number one news station in the town, the number one sports station in town, the number one. I mean, everybody's number one at something. You just have to pick the category where you're number one in. So, I mean, it's a good start. He can say that he's number one in the town that he's writing for, and he's all good. Marvelous. Thank you so very much, man. Drive safely.
Thank you, Marvelous.
We'll talk to you during the week, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Look for you in the studio. Thanks.
You're the best.
See you later.
Take care.
Okay.
Dan Marv on our TR60 hotline. We're going commercial free, and I have to say, before we move forward, we want to make sure that everyone out there, you're doing the three W's, right? You're wearing your mask. Mm-hmm. You're washing your hands. And no, the third W is not when is this going to end. The third W is
wearing your gloves.
No.
What?
It's keep your distance or something like that.
Oh, the 6 feet social distancing.
No, but it's a W.
What is it?
Wear your mask.
Mm-hmm.
Wash your hands. And not when it's gonna end.
It's not gonna end.
Stay away from other people.
Okay. Yeah.
Pretty much it is.
Don't party.
We're going commercial free. There's no question about it. We want to say hello to our colleague, Gabe Salgado. He and his wife are still quarantining. They were tested positive last week for the COVID-19 virus, and they're at home. Gabe did mention that he had somewhat of a slight cough.
Okay.
And his wife was tested again, and the results will come back in the next day or two. So hopefully they're moving forward.
Did he have some pretty bad symptoms?
He said the cough was just pretty bad, but other than that, he was okay. So he said it could have been a lot worse.
Right.
But he I didn't talk to him, but as far as his messaging was concerned, mm-hmm. it appears that he was doing pretty decent.
Okay.
He wasn't like the Cubs pitching coach, Tommy Hatavi, who had 30 days of quarantining, and it was brutal.
Can you imagine?
Well, you know what, Lauren? I was close to... Not having to imagine, I was close to experiencing it. With I had the flu.
Here we go. You had it, Jerry. I think you
I don't
had
know
it.
About
what month
that.
Was that?
It was in January.
Yes.
It was brutal.
I know.
I swear to you. It was brutal.
You expressed it. I could tell it was serious, serious, serious. You know it was out back then.
It was.
You know it was.
Well, that's what they're saying, that back in December it hit the States, maybe early November, January. And I know I got it... New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the whole month of January, I was out. It was unbelievable. It really, really was.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. So that's why, again, I hope these people, you know, and I pray for everyone out there, be smart. Don't think it's a hoax, because it's not. Don't think it's a hoax. And I would not want this to happen to anyone out there.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, it's going to hit a lot of people.
Yeah.
It certainly is.
Michael Jordan, Oprah Winfrey, where y'all at? I don't understand, for the life of me, how can we go play in a bubble? I don't understand the NBA going back to play, y'all. I don't. And I gotta let it be known, because our people are dying. This is the most critical hour in American history where black men have an opportunity to change the direction of our people. And this ain't no game.
World champion Chicago Bulls on our TR60 hotline, Craig Hodges, three-point specialist, current activist, joining us on the Rewind Sports 60. He is a friend of the program. Craig, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine, brother. First of all, just thank God for this Sunday, and it's a blessed day, man. And, you know, thank the Lord for it, and we're moving in the right direction, brother.
Yeah, we're moving in the right direction. We're going to continue to move until, as Martin Luther King said, we're going to get to the promised land. I truly, truly believe that's going to happen. We're going to experience it. We're going to see it. But we got some difficult roads ahead of us. No question about it, Craig Hodges. And that statement was from earlier this week when you spoke on the South Side to a bunch of young folks, along with some other former NBA players and activists in the community. and you were expressing your feelings, your true deep down feelings about not just the injustices and inequalities that's going on in this city, and in particular on the west side and the south side, but the violence and the killing and the murders that are taking place in our neighborhood, man. And I happened to hear your comments when I was driving a car, and literally, Craig, I almost crashed my car when you called out Michael Jordan and you called out Oprah Winfrey and you said, "Where you at?" And you were, man, let me tell you something. You were so passionate about your feelings regarding this city, which I love, and your people, which I doubly love, man. And I said, we've got to get Craig back on the Rewind Sports 60 to share with this listening audience and this city of Chicago what the hell is going on and what the hell are we going to do about it. And I love the fact that you stepped up, stepped out, and called out the people that you needed to call out to let them know this is very, very serious, Craig Hodges.
You know, one of the things, brother, and if Oprah, Michael, if they're listening, you know, one of the things that we need is we need visible, you know, we need visible answers, man. And I think everybody, it's all hands on deck, and everybody has to pull whatever way we can pull at this damn time, regardless of where we're at. I was blessed yesterday to see Minister Farrakhan's speech, and, you know, I ask everyone who's listening to take a chance to look at that yesterday, because it was very telling them as far as the outlook and where we need to be as a people. And it's not just a matter of, you know, it's about black, brown, red, yellow, and white people. And I think that's where it is today. It's not about just black people, but our existence in America is one that's very unique, because we came by ways no other people came. In fact, when you think in terms of a free people being enslaved, then I think a lot of times the way the history has been taught is taught that we were slaves in our inception, and that's not nearly the point that needs to be made. And what we made, the point that we were making at the press conference, is that African history and African American history has to be alongside of science and math in this damn time, and that the young folks need not have to go search for it the way that we did, and that we have to be more cognizant that the historical relevance of African people the world over is part and parcel of why the situation is planet-wise, and as far as white supremacy, racism is being dismantled and before our eyes, and you know, part of the COVID virus is giving people an opportunity to take a true look at what has happened in America and the world, and where oppression is concerned, not just of African people in America, but worldwide as far as, you know, people of color. And the other day when I'm listening to the president at Mount Rushmore, and I'm not hearing him give any blessing to the Native American people whose land was taken, and, you know, you want to try to, you know, give us some type of lip service when you talk about Dr. King and Harriet Tubman, but your real actions have shown, your disdain towards people of color, and especially African people.
You know what, Craig? Very well said. Let me ask you this question. And I agree with you. I think education is very key and very paramount regarding this movement that we're going through. But my question to you is, do you think it's late? And the reason I ask you if it may be too late, because first of all, this movement that we are experiencing and living through, I understand this is the largest movement worldwide in the history. In the history of mankind and this world, man, over 7 million people have marched and protested since the George Floyd murder that took place. Numbers that we've never ever collectively seen in ever. And the reason I ask you if it's too late, because I talked to some young brothers on the South Side, man, and they said, you know, the brother told me, Carlos, guy was making a mural after the riots and the looting and everything that took place over there on 55th and Wentworth, outside of Bobby Rush's office over there. He said, hey, man, listen, he said, it's beyond what our generation, Craig, you and I, he said, the younger folks, they're fed up, and they are ready. I was nervous about this, and I want to be careful with it, but he said, hey, they're ready to risk everything for this.
Oh, man, you stop and you look. If you look at that generation that you speak of, and we're going to go to the education point, that generation that you speak of, they're the generation of fulfillment. So there is no fear in them.
Right.
I look at that generation similar to their energy and their drive at this point in our history is similar to that same energy and drive that was in South Africa prior to Mandela being released.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a certain energetics that's going on the planet right now, and it's something that no one has ever seen before because it's truly divine in nature. So when we talk about what type of education do our young folks need, do our young men need, we need to know the true, real history of African kings and queens and the impact of civilization. And realizing through that method that we'll be able to dismantle this racist white supremacy system that's withering before our eyes, and we have to create and build a brand new system that's holistic in its approach. And we're able to do that because it's in our DNA to do so. It's nothing that is out of reach. It's nothing that's out of character for us to do. In fact, I think it's just a natural progression of who we are as an African people, that now we've come through this sojourn that we've come through, and now what we're experiencing is the birth pains of freedom. And we've never been free before, so we're looking for direction, we're looking for organization. And I just say to the planet that, you know, African people are being delivered before your eyes, and it's something that no nation on earth is willing to do in as far as reparations are concerned. But regardless to what it may appear to be, it's something totally different on the spiritual realm. So don't believe what you see on CNN, NBC, MSNBC, Fox, because that's not where it's really being. So when I think about when Gil Scott Heron said the revolution would not be televised,
yep.
In fact, it's being carried out, you know, through social media, through the energy that people are just feeling on the planet that something is wrong and it's time for me to use my life energy to stand up against those forces that have been able to get across the lies and the deceit and the division among people to be able to keep their power structure in place. And now people aren't going for that. And I think it's, you know, for me, when I think of black folks in America, especially, you know, in the city of Chicago, we pay taxes. But, you know, we were taught constitutionally, even though the Constitution didn't have anything to do with us, and we know that in order to succeed in America, you have to study it. So in our study, we find that, you know, taxation without representation is tyrannical.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we are paying taxes to be slaughtered. We're paying taxes to be murdered. We're paying taxes not to be able to be considered from a medical end of why this is affecting black people so heavily. But at the same time, I suggest to my people, keep your face mask on, make sure you're drinking plenty of water, get you some zinc, get you some liquid zinc if at all possible, get you some Brazil nuts, you know, because there's certain things that we can do outside of their therapeutics that can enhance us to be able to, you know, sustain ourselves through this, because They talk about these different waves, y'all. We are just finishing up the first wave of this thing. So the destruction that's coming, I just hope to the Lord that, you know, we can be spared some of the destruction that's coming down, because those who have created this thing don't have any power over it, and now it's all a matter of the Creator giving us a blessing and a mercy like we've had, you know, to come through this thing and be a stronger people before it.
Craig, Lauren Cox here. So one thing that I really hear in your words, specifically with the young people, is empowerment. And yeah, even with the NBA players as well, that's something that I'm excited to see and that you're starting to see more. And all across all of the leagues is empowerment from the players. I wanted to get your thoughts on five-star college basketball recruit McCurr Maker, he commits to Howard over UCLA. And that's another form of empowerment that we've talked about on the show is, you know, this talent. You know, we are the talent pool that really fuels and runs these, actually it doesn't run, but fuels these franchises and these leagues. And for us to take some of that power back, put it in the hands of ourselves and commit to an HBCU over, you know, the traditional more known college. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
And I appreciate it. And, you know, he's one of the young brothers that's probably, he's capable of probably going straight to the league and depends on what the league is, you know. And that's another thing that, you know, one of those challenges for our people, you know, you put a road Blackwood brother that may be talented at 15 and might be 7 foot. If he's talented enough to go play pro basketball, let him go play. But that's another story. But I'm glad the young brother, you know, he realizes that the impact of this talent is more than himself, and he realizes the larger picture, and that, you know, his body of work has given him a position to be able to do something that's going to be, you know, somewhat revolutionary. And hopefully more and more players will do that, even to the point where if you're not going to go to college and you're going to go to the league or go overseas and play or play in the G League or whatever, I think it's cool for us to be able to say that, hey, man, I'm going to Howard, I'm going to Morehouse, I'm going, you know, to Tennessee State or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And just being able to open that pipeline that now, you know, because the thing that we don't realize oftentimes is that, as laymen sports watchers, is that those young men and women, when they go to these universities, they carry a certain economic impact on that campus and, you know, in the alumni community.
Sure.
So there's dollars that they bring to those campuses. And, you know, the fact that you could have them go to Howard for a year and then you have all of those major networks having to bring dollars into Howard for the exposure that he's going to be able to bring to any university. So it's one of those things that is good, and I think hopefully more young athletes will follow that lead. And likewise, we who are elders now have to do more in as far as getting them to realize their impact and what it can do for the community and from an educational standpoint going forward.
He is Chicago's very own former Chicago Bull NBA champion, three-point specialist. He's also an author, ladies and gentlemen. He has a book out, and he is a current activist on our TR60 hotline. He's Craig Hodges. Craig, I got to ask you, we started off with the soundbite about you challenging Oprah Winfrey and Michael Jordan and said, well, you what? This weekend, this holiday weekend, it's unfortunate, and it continues to be a trend and a pattern here in the Chicago West and South Side. 66 people were shot over the weekend. 13 of them died, and another young folk perished at the hands of our own people in our own neighborhood, man. When you called out Michael and Oprah, what was the message you were trying to convey to them regarding the violence and the murders that are taking place in the community?
One of the things for me is that, you know, being born and raised here, brother, is that we've seen it a lot. We've seen people come here, and Chicago is a city of big shoulders, man. So we've endorsed a lot of people. We've helped a lot of people enhance their careers. And for some reason, we remain mired in this rut that we can't get out of. And I feel like when we have two of the bright and, you know, most magnified African people on the face of the earth both coming, getting their starts here in our city, I feel like there should be some type of, you know, Oprah did school in South Africa. But the impact that they have visibly in the city of Chicago is limited. You know what I'm saying? From a corporate end,
mm-hmm.
they're getting it, but from a local community level, we've supported them. I saw my grandmamas and aunties. Everybody was supporting Oprah in her Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the same thing with MJ. You know, the brothers and sisters here in the city, man, we had your back. We were family to you. And then it becomes a thing where, you know, we don't see you. We don't see you visibly. You know, you may throw some dollars at us, but we need your visible support now. We need young brothers and sisters to be able to touch you and be able to sit with you and look in your eyes and see that you can see about their concerns and know that I wasn't just buying your gym shoe or watching your show because, you know, that sometimes it's one of those things, man, where we have a certain power, and our power is usurped because we allow dollars to become more important than our the mortality of our people, man. And that has to change, and I feel like that, you know, me asking that of them is more so to let younger folks know that, hey, if they with it, they with it. If not, we got to get with it anyway, because I'm not waiting on them. I'm just asking them, you know, if it only a take, it won't take billions of dollars, man, to solve our condition in Chicago. You know, I can look like you say, okay, the murders that are going on this past weekend, is it a way that we can quarantine ourselves? Because that's the only way it seemed like murder stopped is when the COVID came out and everybody had to be in the crib. The murder rate went down, and now we get out and we march and we rant and rave when white folks kill us. But we not ranting and raving when we killing ourselves. And the issue to me is we have to have resources and we have to have security. The resources have to be put in a way that we can take the illicit out of the hands of our brothers and sisters, because we don't import cocaine, we don't import guns, we don't do none of that in our community. So we have to have a viable way to give these young folks something opposed to that, that is good and positive in their future growth and potential, as opposed to it being, like I said during that speech, man, you know, you have young folks up in Winneka, Wilmette, who are going to the gun range with their parents,
right,
putting a lock on their gun, putting their gun in the gun safe, where our practice range is our people,
mm-hmm,
our community, and that we're not acting on gun safety. We're acting out of emotion, out of stress, out of pain, out of suffering, out of lack of, on all fronts, out of a mindset of scarcity. So if I see you with it and I can take yours, I ain't scarce no more. But you, without your family, is without a loved one. And until we get back to that mentality that we had in 1968,
mm-hmm,
that the murder of a George Floyd, the murder of a Breonna Taylor, it brings about an emotional love, brother and sister, that I ain't gonna hurt you because we just been hurt so bad that we can't afford to hurt another one of us, because you might be that linchpin that takes us to the next level, potential-wise, so I got to make sure I guard you the same way you guard me, and your life is so important. And that's the thing that we was blessed with coming up in the 60s, man, is that it was a sincere truth in that your life was even more meaningful than my own.
Right.
And in the protection of yours, you wanted to go over and beyond to protect mine.
Yeah.
So it was a couple, man, and that's the part that this whole integration thing, you know, you stop and you think. Integration is basically an analogy for white supremacy racism, because we were integrated when we were in slavery. We were part of civilization and society. We just weren't looked upon as being a part of it. But, man, we ain't a part of it now. We're supposed to be integrated. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a level of the reality that we have to put in this thing to call a spade a spade. And wherever you're at, you got to face this thing head on. So if you're in a law firm, you're in a community organization, and you see racism raise its ugly head,
yeah, hey man, we gotta cut you short. It is the fastest hour in sports conversation, but I gotta hold you. Listen, Greg, I gotta challenge you though. The one thing that I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna say it, is real sports, real talk, just plain real. One thing that I'm kind of pissed off and sick and tired of hearing and seeing are these preacher activists in front of the cameras. Every time a kid gets killed or shot in their neighborhood, I'm tired of seeing Andrew Holmes. I'm tired of hearing these neighborhood storefront preachers coming out and say, we got to stop this. We got to stop this. I'm tired of seeing it. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you after the kid is dead. I don't want to see you after their shooting. I don't want to see that. And everybody knows who Pookie is. Everybody knows who Peanut is. Everybody knows who JoJo is. But after the kid gets killed and shot and dead, you're going to get in front of the damn television cameras and say, yeah, we need to stop this. Man, if I see another preacher out there, I swear to you, I'll drive down there myself and beat him upside the head. I'm tired of seeing it, man. I'm tired of seeing it.
Hey, brother. Hey, man. And like I say, man, your passion is
I'm tired
justified.
Of it.
Your passion is justified, but I want you to know, and I want your listeners to know, that our deliverance is at hand, and we have to try to do your best, brother, is to be centered in that, to see it for what it is, to see that that has been the infrastructure of our pain, that there has always been those who have come before us to say why we're in pain and how we're we good, that now we need to come back together, that when these type of things happen, we have to look into it and be more mature in how we handle and deal with it and quit being so reactionary.
You got it.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you as always, brother, and may all your listeners be blessed going forward. Be conscious in what you're doing and make, like I said, make sure you got your zinc and your Brazil nuts and
turmeric.
Greg, we got to go, brother. Thank you. We'll be in contact.
Greg.
Love you, man. Keep the fight on. Keep the struggle. Keep the fight going. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the fastest hour in sports conversation. Thanks to Craig Hodges. Thanks to the marvelous one, Dan Marvin. Lauren Cox, anything before we're out of here in 10 seconds?
Just be safe. Wear that mask.
God bless you. Devin Tingle, great job. It's the fastest hour in sports conversation. It is the Rewind Sports 60. Be safe. Be well. Talk to you next week.
Already giving them 50 a week, and now Whitey's on the moon. Taxes taking my whole damn check. The junkies make me a nervous wreck. The price of food is going up.